Welcome to Conversations with Catalysts. I'm your host, Jeremy West.
So we're celebrating 20 episodes with a twist. I'm Alyssa Freeman, and I'll be interviewing the host of this podcast. Welcome, Jeremy West, to your show.
Thank you. And Alyssa, full disclosure, is my coach, and she is who I interviewed on episode 2. So check that out, please, if you like hearing from Alyssa.
Is Jeremy West. How did you end up coaching?
Ooh, wow. Fantastic question. I am an American who at the age of 25 decided to go off and have an adventure and went and lived in Japan for a couple of years. And I told my mother that I would only be going to Japan for 2 years. And I kept that promise. I just didn't go back to America. I moved to Australia because I met and married an Australian woman in Japan. And actually, that leads directly to my coaching, because we had a 13-year relationship. I was very much in love, even at the end, and she ended it. It was unexpected to me. It shouldn't have been unexpected. There were some signs, but I missed all of them. And it took me a little while to get over that relationship. And so this was 7 years ago. And I felt like I had lost my own individual identity a bit. And you know how celebrities, like, there's like a name for the two celebrities together, like Bennifer and I can't remember any of the other ones. Yeah. So we made up one for us. Her name's Eliza. So we were Eliami. And yeah, I felt like that was my identity, was two of us together. And actually, I'll just say something that bothers me now, and it's because I did it so much, is when I hear couples say, oh yeah, we really like that movie. Oh, we this and we that. And I'm like, is there any differentiation between you two? Are you just one person? So anyway, I then was a bit lost, and a friend told me about you, and I contacted you, and we worked together for a while where you are my coach and you helped me find direction. I went into pursuing comedy for a bit, and then stand-up comedy. And then I realized that if I was going to put a lot of time into writing stuff that I was going to say on stage, I actually wanted it to be more real and important than what I felt I was able to do in comedy and open mics and all of that. My next guest is going to be my favorite comedian, Mike Kaplan, and he actually puts a lot of self-development stuff within his comedy and his podcasts and stuff. But I didn't feel the freedom to do that at open mics where people were just there for random laughs or they were even just there to have a meal at the pub or whatever. So anyway, I decided, you know what? I had a psychology degree, and your coaching helped me so much more than any psychologist that I had ever seen, that I decided, rather than continuing my studies in psychology, I would go and get certified as a coach and become a speaker and a coach. So that's how I ended up here.
And it's an absolute pleasure to have coached you and to get to know you and to help you on your journey.
Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Welcome. You help people, but what would be the one thing that you want to bring into the world? What is the one thing that you really want to bring?
Yeah, this is a question, just a spoiler or a little behind the scenes. Actually, the questions that I ask coaches, I gave to Alyssa, and obviously she can ask any other questions she wants to. But this question is one that I was just at work one day, and someone said, if you could bring more of any one thing into the world, what would it be? And I was like, I had to think about it for a bit, and I thought it was freedom was my answer at the time. But I thought, wow, what a profound question to help people to find their purpose in life. And it changed for me. I still believe very highly in freedom, but happiness is more important to me. And this there's a really good book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Have you read that?
Oh, I have, and it's one I often recommend to my clients.
Yeah, and I'll put on jeremywest.net underneath Jeremy Chats with Coaches is a link to any books that we talk about on Jeremy Chats with Coaches. This one was in a concentration camp, and he somehow was able to, so he was not free, at least not physically free, but he was able to hold on to his own mental freedom. But more, I guess more importantly, he was able to have a bit of joy. I'm not saying he was happy all the time while he was there, but he was able to think about his wife and that he wanted to see when he got out, which, spoiler alert, she was actually dead when he got out. But that was what kept him alive, was that hope of seeing his wife again because of the happiness that he had with his wife. So I guess my point is, I've decided that freedom is important, but you have to fight for freedom. You have to, there's governments are always trying to take away freedom and whatever, but what the one thing you can't take away is your mindset. If you decide to keep that mindset of positivity and whatever, even if you're in a concentration camp, you can continue to be happy. So that is what I want to bring more of into the world, is happiness.
100% agree with you there. I think it got a lot to do with what's inside your head, because you can also see people who seemingly have it all, and they can still be trapped in unhappiness.
Yeah, I think it's
to do with the outside environment.
It's very much to do with how you see the outside environment. So we all have glasses of some sort that give us a perspective. And you can be, yeah, rich, have it all, have kids and the white picket fence and spouse and the perfect job, and everything's perfect on the outside. The glasses you wear are negative glasses that only see, I don't know, that the lawn's not mowed or the, whatever it is, it only sees the negative. Whereas you can be Eckhart Tolle and homeless and still find the joy in watching birds or watching people or whatever it is. So yeah, I'm not saying that you have to be poor to be happy, or you'll be miserable if you're rich. Not at all. I'm just saying that no matter what your circumstances are, it's the glasses that you're looking at your circumstances through that are going to affect how you feel about everything.
Yeah, exactly. So if you've got a client who has these glasses on, and they're not even aware of them, and they've got these, how do you identify it, and how do you change that or unlock that person's potential?
That it really comes down to asking, I think maybe this is the same thing you said with it on episode 2, but maybe not, somebody else said it, I don't know. It really comes down to just asking good questions, and more importantly, drilling down with those questions, because it usually takes a good 5 questions or so before you uncover what's really going on deep down. Yeah, there's something, some reason that the first time we get asked a question on something that's really deep, we only give it sort of surface level answer.
Exactly.
Maybe, and we're only probably just
say, the answer, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite response to that, I was taught, not in any kind of coaching or counseling or anything, it was in, but very much psychology, it was in sales. Sales is what got me interested in studying psychology in the first place. And my sales trainer said, anytime anyone answers, I don't know, his next question is, okay, but if you did know, what would it be? And 9 times out of 10, they give an answer then.
That's right. Yeah. Or you're just giving them some time to really think it through, because sometimes we don't think about what that real problem is.
Yeah. So it's just really
story where you use this and you made a difference to someone.
Well, my favorite one is, she may have been my first client. I think she was. But anyway, I'll just give her a name. Let's say Susan. She came to one of my seminars called 6 Steps to Getting Over Your Ex. And the reason she came in the first place was because in court, in divorce court, her ex-husband's lawyer had said, oh, she's still hung up on something about the relationship. And she didn't think she was, but she went ahead and sought out me. She I don't know, Googled or whatever. She found me somehow and came to the seminar, and then came to a weekend workshop that I held. It was going to be in person, but it was April of 2020 or something, and COVID had just shut everything down, so it ended up on Zoom. But there's a group of us that all went through together over 2 or 3 days, I don't remember, this boot camp where we really went deep into everything regarding getting past the relationship. And she later told me, and I got her to give me a bit of a testimonial, and she told me things I didn't know, but that she had gotten so much more out of my coaching than, sorry, I guess we did end up doing 6 months together as well after that. And she said she got so much more out of my coaching than just processing the end of her relationship. She was able to go back into old childhood traumas, and then she was able and let go of those. She said that when she was talking to me on the testimonial, it was the very first time that she was able to talk about it without crying, because she processed it with me in those sessions. And then, and that has nothing to do with her breakup. And then she said all the different processes and techniques I had taught her, she was able to take into her daily life to be really mindful in the here and now. And also, when she saw the problems in the here and now, she was also seeing that those would be resolved and she had a future. And she was at that time really looking forward to that future, whether she was going to be with another partner in the future or remain single, didn't matter. She's happy as she is. So that's Susan.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so
glad. And that's, I'll say as well, that's really what a lot of people got confused, like the people that were helping me market got confused by what I was doing. They thought, or they thought I should be marketing how to find your next partner or something. And no, when someone has had this massive breakup, I want them to learn how to be happy to the point that they can be happy whether they get a new partner or not. And that usually, when people do find the right partner, it's usually when they have no longer need someone else to make them happy, and then they find someone else who also doesn't need someone else to make them happy, and they're able to be, instead of being this codependent couple that's relying on the other one for their happiness, they're able to give out of, not out of need, but out of just love and desire. And but the cool thing is that while that may make it more likely that you'll find that partner, it doesn't matter, because you've learned to be happy whether you do or not.
Yes. The old love thyself first.
Yes.
And then you can love others.
So many people who are single think, I need to find the right partner to be happy. I think that's backwards. I need to learn how to be happy to find the right partner.
Yeah, exactly. And with people that have these challenges, how do you guide them through the things that come up? So there's a reason why they're looking for the partner to make them happy, right? Rather than the other way around. So how do you flip that?
I use processes that come from mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, or otherwise known as ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy. It really comes down to first, the first step, I don't know if I'll go through all six steps to getting over your ex, but the first step is to really let go of that person, which usually, unless you're needing to keep in contact for co-parenting, it usually means cutting off all contact and going cold turkey, because that person is a bit of an addiction in your life, because they have been so much a part of your life every day for however many years that you have to treat it like an addiction and really completely let go of it. Maybe sometime in a couple of years when you are over it, you can go back to being friends or whatever. But anyway, that's the first step. But then after that, it really comes down to finding, and I've found as I've been doing this podcast, I've found that every coach I talk to, no matter what kind of coaching they do, and no matter what methods they use and whatever, every coach seems to really be an identity coach. Every coach is helping people find their own true identity, who they really are, without it being, you know, what their parents want them to be or what they feel like society wants them to be or what their friends want them to be, but they find their true self and then and their true values and live according to those values. And so that's what I help people do is first let go of that old relationship, second find who you are as an individual and become that person, and then because you're doing that's where you're able to be happy as yourself as an individual, and then of course you may find someone else that's happy with themselves as an individual to partner up with.
Yes.
But I guess to answer your question, what it is I help them find their true identity and their values and live according to those values and be their true self.
How does that relate to goals they might have? Would the goal be related to happiness and being, you know, happy without anyone before you move on to their goal of perhaps being in a partnership, or are the goals not related?
No, goals are related. Yeah. Once you've found your values, then like the sixth step of the six steps is to take mindful action. So you find your values, and then because according to your values, then you set some goals, and then you go from what your goals are, that may be 1 year, 5 years, 10 years out in the future, and you work your way backwards. If I'm going to get there in a year, 5 years, 10 years, then what are all the steps that I take to get there? And you work your way backwards to the very first step that's attainable maybe today. And yeah, when you're focusing on, I've just found it's a natural process. When you're focusing on your values and you're focusing on working towards goals that are within those values, you just naturally let go of, I need someone else to make me happy. That's what I've found.
About those people that are stuck in doubting themselves or they're lacking motivation. And I know that this is a common problem that people come to coaches for. What's your strategy to help them overcome those?
So that, for me, always comes down to what we call, in both of us, were certified, you were certified a few times, but both of us have been certified by Benjamin Harvey at Authentic Education. And we talk about chunking, which is exactly what I just described, taking that large goal and then chunking it down to smaller and smaller goals until you get to something that can be accomplished today. And what they've found in studies is people think, when I feel motivated, then I will do that thing. But it turns out that's, again, backwards. Motivation doesn't just, sometimes it does just strike, and then that's great. Use it to do some of the hardest things when motivation just strikes suddenly. But most of the time, when you start doing the little things, then you start getting motivated to continue that trajectories. When someone's having trouble with motivation, I'm just going to use an example that's not related to breakup or identity or whatever. Let's just say someone's wanting to run every day, but they're just not feeling motivated to run. Their chunking may need to come down to, okay, today what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on my running shoes. It may be something that small. And for the next 7 days, I'll put on my running shoes every day. And then after that I've got used to that. I can do that. Now I'm going to put on my running shoes and I'm going to go out and walk to the end of the driveway or whatever it is. Probably most people can do things a little bit bigger than this, but if they're really that having that much trouble with motivation, you just chunk down to that level. And I'll also say something that I haven't used with clients yet, but I've just started using with myself, is a really cool free app called Hadika. It's just a fancy to-do list, really, but you've got three different sections: habits, daily things that you do every day, and then your sort of to-do list into the future. And every time you tick off one of those things, you get experience points and health. It turns your real life into sort of a RPG, a role-playing game. And it's amazing. Awesome. Yeah, because the studies have shown any time you turn anything that you need to do into a game, it makes you much more likely to do it and get things done. You know that with little kids where you turn cleaning up their room into a game or whatever, but it works with adults too. And it's so silly. It's really just a glorified to-do list. I don't really care about the experience or health, or, oh, you go up in levels when you get enough experience or health. I don't know. I don't pay any attention to it except when it comes up and says you've leveled up or whatever. It's just a little dopamine hit. And it, yeah, it really helps get things done. It's pretty cool. It's called Habitica, Habit.
That sounds really cool because it is one of those things that motivation, we can be motivated to do the things that we love to do or that are fun, but not necessarily motivated to do the things that we know we really need to do to move us forward.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll mention from a book called Eat That Frog. Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
So I don't even know if I've read it. I may have just read the summary, but either way, the idea is that if there's something hard that you have to get done, do that first, because people think that, oh, wow, that guy is successful. He obviously has a lot of self-discipline and he's really motivated. The secret is everybody has self-discipline and motivation, but we only have so much of it and we use it up throughout the day. So the first thing, if you do the hardest thing first thing in the morning or when you first start doing your work or whatever, then you get that done. Whereas if you put that off to the end of the day, then you'll put it off to the end of the next day and the end of the next day and the end of the next day. It'll never get done. And then the other thing is another book that I can't think of the name of right now, but you always ask yourself, what is the one thing that I can do right now that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? Yeah.
That's a good
just
question.
Something I ask myself all the time as well. Yeah. And that's the cool thing about Habitica is it gives me like a bit of a menu of things to do. And then I can look at it and go, out of these things, which of these things can I do right now that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? And I try to do that.
Yes, it's helping with you and you're passing that on to your clients as well.
Yeah, I haven't passed it on to clients yet, but I'm doing it right now on the podcast. And then I will do it with people working with me as well.
Yeah, I think that sounds really good. And I think use whatever tool you can to make your life better and move yourself forward. I think this is one of the things that what works, do it. And if that works, then it's a great one to do and a great one for people to try out for sure. So, Jeremy, what do you reckon your core philosophy is behind, like the big thing behind all of your coaching?
Yeah, behind my coaching and behind my life really is the idea that now is the only moment that truly exists. And so when we're, I don't know where I read this, but it's always stuck with me that depression is when you're stuck in the past and anxiety is when you're stuck in the future. Mm-hmm. And peace is when you're here in the here and now.
Yes, that's right. When you've gotten rid of the past and the future and what you're worrying about with those things and you're in that present moment, the vast majority of us are in a place of a really good place, a place of peace.
And then even when there's even when there's a lot of crap going on in your life, which usually most people have, there's bigger and smaller things, but it doesn't really matter that other people's problems are a lot bigger than yours. If that's the case, that doesn't make any difference. We adapt to our level of circumstances. If you're letting those things that are wrong bother you, they will bother you even if other people have worse problems. But whatever is going on in your life, whether it's much worse than other people or not as bad as other people, doesn't matter. The here and now is like the eye of a hurricane. So all this other stuff can be going on in your life, but if you just come back to the here and now, and people will ask me, what about if the here and now is that you've got bombs dropping on you or whatever? Guess what? You're just taking action. You're not actually being anxious. You're taking action to do whatever you have to do to save your life. So even in that circumstance, I don't think if you're in the here and now, you're having a lot of anxiety. You're just doing what needs to be done. But most of the time in this moment, this is, I don't remember who I heard this from either, but in this moment, there is rarely a problem. Usually your problems are in the past or in the future. And if you can just come back to this moment, you're in the eye of that storm.
That the eye of the storm, that's a really great way to look at it. I love that one. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, see,
So
if you're thinking the storm is stuff in the past and stuff in the future. So if your mind is stuck in the past or the future, you're whirling around in that storm. But if you bring it back to the here and now, then all of a sudden you're in the eye of the storm. The storm's out there, you're safe where you are.
you get people to come back to that here and now, that eye of the storm, and be in that place of peace?
Well, I think I've heard people say that you can do this with little exercises throughout your day, and you don't have to learn to meditate and whatever, and you probably can. But for me, meditation is the practice that 100% is exercising that coming back to the here and now. Because a lot of people say I can't meditate because my mind just keeps wandering, but that's what meditation is. Your mind, everybody's, no matter. If you're a monk that's been practicing for 20 years, everyone's mind wanders. What meditation is noticing that your mind is wandering and bringing it back to whatever your object of meditation is. Often it's your breath, whatever it is. And because in meditation, your mind is constantly wandering and you're constantly bringing it back to the here and now, the more you practice meditation daily, for about 20 minutes, I would say, is where the research shows if you do at least 20 minutes, they're getting a lot out of it. 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and all the way up to 20 minutes. That exercise every single day allows you throughout the day to then keep bringing your attention back to the here and now whenever you find it wandering. So I do coach all of my clients to meditate.
I love that. I think that's really good point that you made, that everyone's mind wanders, because I hear that too. People will say to me, I can't meditate because I can't concentrate on just my breath or whatever it is that I'm concentrating on. I'll go off on a tangent, my mind. And then
Do
that
you
moment
ever,
I come
so I
back,
say,
I'll stop.
do you ever notice that you've gone off on a tangent? Yes. Okay, that good. Then you're doing it right. You've noticed that you've gone off on a tangent, and now you bring your attention back to your breath, then you're doing it right.
Exactly. And this method is tried and true. There's so much research on this method. It's so simple, but so incredibly effective. And
My
again, sorry,
favorite
go on.
comedian, Mike Kaplan, who is the next guest on this podcast, still episode 21, I heard him make a joke once that said, "Long time breather, first time meditator," which is because I don't know if might be American, where people call radio shows and say, "Long time listener, first time caller." Long time breather, first time meditator.
Yeah, nice. Thank goodness they're breathing. That's a good
Yeah.
thing. With this method, how does that translate for results for your clients? How's that helped your clients?
What I teach is that when we do, there's a little bit of in my in the, okay. So my 15-year-old has asked me, like, if you always focus on the here and now, then that means you never look towards the future or plan for the future or whatever. And it's no. But most of us, at least those of us who struggle with depression or anxiety, get swept away into thinking about the past or get swept away into thinking about the future. That needs to be intentional. So when you are planning for your future and setting goals, that's what you're doing in the here and now. And you're intentionally doing that in the here and now. And then, but we then make those goals and then chunk back to what we can do in the here and now, and then focus on that here and now. And it's if you are driving and a big semi truck way off in the distance, a couple kilometers away, because it's a long stretch of road, you can notice that off in the future. But you need to have the majority of your attention on what's right here around the car in the here and now. So it's the same thing. We set our goals out there in the future, and we have some attention for that, but then we backtrack to what we need to do here and now. What was the question?
About how
Does it translate into results? So it translates into results because we set those goals for the future. But then, if you were to, for example, set a goal to I don't know, get a business started by and have 10 clients by a year from now. And you just kept your attention completely on a year from now, I'm going to have 10 clients and didn't do anything, then you wouldn't accomplish that goal. You need to backtrack from what you want that 10 clients out in the future to what do I need to do right now? Oh, I want to have 10 clients as a coach. Then what I need to do right now is set up myself as a guest on Jeremy's podcast, Jeremy Chats with Coaches. No, but no. It translates into results because we look at what you want to do in the future and then we backtrack to what you can do in the here and now and what you can focus on in the here and now. And having those goals allows you to now have something to focus on in the here and now. And that then translates as you take small step after small step. All of a sudden, here you are a year later and you've got 20 clients or 30 clients, often exceeds your expectations, but it all comes back to what can I do here and now.
It's a really cool perspective. I love that. So do you find yourself giving some advice that you tend to give all your clients or anyone else who will listen? Do you find that there's one thing that you're often coming back to that you're telling people?
Yeah, I don't think I still own it, but I used to own the web youarethatnowguy.com because you've already heard it over and over again in this conversation. And I'd say that's the bit of wisdom that I give out the most is now is the, I've already said it, now is the only moment that truly exists.
And has that helped you in your life as well?
100%. So those who I've mentioned it several times over the course of these first 20 episodes, but I, on the 7th of March, 2024, so now about 6-7 weeks ago, I fell off the top of a ladder as I was stepping off my roof. And the first thing my doctor said to me was, a lot of people who fall from that height, I don't see because they're dead, but those that I do see generally are permanently in a wheelchair and a lot of them can't even talk. None of that happened for me. I broke 18 bones but they're all, I didn't even have to have surgery. They're all expected to heal. And I'm extremely grateful for that. And over the course of the last 6-7 weeks, my mindset has stayed very positive, where in the past, I would have started getting very anxious about the fact that I'm not able to work for 12 weeks. And the normal, I've been doing work with disability support. I'm not able to do that. And so I guess in the past, I would have been getting very anxious about where is money going to come from and what am I going to do, blah, blah, blah. But I have found that by staying in the here and now and not getting drawn into the future or the past, why didn't I do this before or that before, whatever. By staying in the here and now, I have maintained a very positive outlook on life, even through this injury and the 12 weeks off work and all of that. Yeah, that's one way that it has helped me. And I've actually been surprised by how positive my mindset has stayed. But I guess all of the things that I've been teaching and now applying in my own life are working.
So you really are walking the talk.
Yeah.
Walking the talk. So it's not just what you're talking about and teaching, you're actually doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it over the last several years, but testing it in this sort of trauma event is different. And especially because I wasn't doing it when I first had my breakup, which is a very traumatic event. And I learned it over the next several years, and it made this big difference to me. But now, seeing how it helps in an acute trauma at the moment, helps me see how my clients who have taken my coaching have been able to I guess, get past their breakups a lot faster than I did, because they're using the things that I learned over the course of years. They're able to, because they've become my clients right after their breakup, they're able to learn these lessons that I learned over a course of years in a much, maybe 6-8 weeks or whatever they do with the teaching that I do, and able to use it in the moment instead of...
I think the listeners would agree with me in that it's an absolute miracle that you did some damage to your body, but it could have been so, so much worse. You may not have been here.
Yeah.
You could have been in a wheelchair the rest of your life. I don't know. Would you call that a miracle? I would.
Yeah. And also I could have not been, I don't know why I wouldn't be able to talk, maybe a head injury or something, but whatever. That was the bit that hit me a lot harder than being stuck in a wheelchair, was that I might not have been able to talk. Because as you can see in this episode, even though I think I've been pretty good at letting the guests talk in the other episodes, you can see in this episode that I love to talk. So I don't want that taken away from me.
Lots of wonderful things to share. Do you think that this accident and this miracle, and for you to really be in the moment with this, and you're laughing and you've been through all this incredible trauma, do you think it has anything to do with, I'm getting a bit here, anything to do with your purpose?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you and I, when we talked, I think before we made that episode 2, you said that I had the feather, the brick, and the truck experience. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so this podcast, as an example, is something I've been wanting to create for years. And I say it at the end of every episode. It's for two, maybe three types of people. One is anybody interested in self-development and to just learn and glean all this wisdom that they can from all different coaches, all different types of coaching, all different philosophies, all that kind of stuff. And then two is people who, I don't know why I said three. The second is people who hear a particular coach and go, I need that person in my life. So either way, I wanted to make this podcast for years to help people, because I knew there was so much wisdom that could be shared by so many different coaches, but I haven't done it. And I've just got distracted by other work that I've been doing and whatever else. And so I lost my job in October, and I think that I was a feather, but I ignored it and just found a new job. That was a feather saying, you need to go back into doing your coaching again, and you need to start this podcast, and you need to do that. And I ignored it. And then that was the brick. The feather was just years of thinking about it. And then the truck hit me by me falling off the roof and surviving pretty much intact. 18 broken bones, but none of them even were displaced. And yeah, that was enough for me to go, okay, I'm going to start this podcast. I'm going to start it in hospital and get several episodes banked and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it has definitely pushed me back into the world of coaching, because as I said, I've been doing disability support work, but that was mainly because I tried to change niches with my coaching. And at the same time as there were changes to where they aren't able to do as targeted advertising as they used to. And so I ended up spending all of the marketing money that I had. And so when I finished up with my last batch of people that I was coaching, I just went, I don't have any money for marketing. I think I'm just going to have to find a job. And so I did. And I've been that whole time, so it's been a couple of years that I've been just working jobs. And I've keep thinking, I need to go back to my purpose. I need to go back to helping people. And I do help people in disability support work, but I feel like my coaching is much more my purpose. And so I'm finally coming back into that.
Yeah, wow. So you did a full circle.
Yeah.
And when you're coaching your clients, what would you say that is the real end result they get from working with you?
Okay. So I think that the real end result is happiness. However, I agree with this book called The Happiness Trap, that the more you seek happiness, the less you'll find it. What you need to do is seek to live according to your values and make goals according to your values and work towards those goals. And I think not being focused on the goals, but being focused on more on the here and now of what you're doing, working as you work towards those goals. And then the byproduct of living according to your values and your true self is that you get happiness. But that can't be what you're seeking. What you're seeking has to be living according to your values. So people that work with me,
so living according to your values is really what's going to bring you happiness.
Yeah, but doing it for the values' sake, not for the happiness' sake. It's a little
bit
of a
nice little caveat there. I like it.
Yeah, and also I think that the more you focus on other people and helping other people, with a caveat, other people that want your help. If you're helping people that don't want your help, that's a codependent relationship. But yeah, helping people that want your help, the more you focus on helping other people, the less you're focused on your own problems and the happier you'll be.
Now, we totally went off on a tangent during this chat, but I'm just wondering if there's anything you didn't get to say as much as you wanted to. Now's your opportunity.
No, I think that is, everything that we've covered, I've said everything I wanted to in this conversation.
So was there anything that I didn't know to bring up that we missed in the life of and the work of you, of Jeremy West?
Yeah, I guess I will just bring in my hobby, which is improv theater, and say that for me, improv theater is the one place besides meditation in my life where I'm the most mindful, because when you're, I don't know how much listeners know about improv theater, but think something like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Or in Australia, Thank God You're Here. When you're creating something out of thin air with someone on stage, on the spot, you can't be thinking about your problems or what you're going to get at the supermarket or whatever else. You have to be really in the moment to be paying close attention to what they're saying and doing, and creating to be able to create that together. So if you want something besides meditation to help you be mindful, look in your area to see if there's an improv group. And even if you don't perform, they generally will do classes where you learn all these skills anyway that translate into real life. And if you take the class, that doesn't mean you have to perform. And it brings play back into adults' lives. So I highly recommend improv theater to be in the here and now.
100% agree with you there. Having done improv myself, it's really, it's personal development, but you get to play and act out.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel like work at all, but you are doing personal development work.
That's right. And you end up leaving a class with huge realizations about the human condition and yourself, and incredible growth. It's a lot of fun. I would highly recommend it too. I'm with you.
Have you performed as well, or have you just taken classes?
Yes, I've performed as well.
Yes.
I don't mind the performing. I think the performing has its own lessons, of course, but I think that the classes where you learn particular games and how to respond to something or how to react to something, which is be incredible for our personal development and our professional development as well.
And I actually, I guess another thing I need to get off my butt and do besides this podcast is I've been, again, thinking and planning for years to start up a class that was play-based mindfulness. So basically improv theater as a mindfulness, as training in mindfulness. Yeah, and with no plan actually to even necessarily have the group perform, but it could turn into that as well. But really it being all about learning the skills of mindfulness through play.
Awesome. So, Jeremy, the point of this podcast you were telling me was that so anyone who listens and they'll glean things they can on self-development and from hearing all your chats, and you'll hear different coaches as well. And for those people who are ready to hear from that person that they need in their life to be able to contact them and get started. So for those listeners who today are saying, I need Jeremy West in my life to help me move forward. How do they find you?
Thank you for asking, Alyssa. What I'm doing right now is an 8-week mindfulness course, but I give away the first week. So anybody can sign up for my free introduction to mindfulness workshop. And it's live online, so anyone can take it from anywhere in the world. Just go to jeremywest.net, and at the top of the page there, jeremywest.net, you will see a link to the next free workshop. So pop in there and have a look at that and learn how to live in the present moment.
That's an incredible gift to give people, a free session with you, Jeremy. I would highly recommend that anyone listening here, if you resonate with anything that Jeremy has said, to go to the website, which again is
jeremywest.net.
Yep, and click that button and get a free session.
All my links are there, including the link to all the previous episodes of this podcast.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for opening up and telling us all about your coaching and how your life works in with that. It was absolutely fascinating. I hope everyone else loved it as much as I did, and looking forward to hearing some more from you.
And thank you for interviewing me. And if people want to find you, Alyssa, where do they find you?
AlyssaFreeman.com. My name, I know it's a bit tricky to spell, but it's ElisaFreeman.com.au. And there's a contact form there that you can fill out and touch base, and we can see where we go from there.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Alyssa, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you, Jeremy, and I hope that I get to interview you again soon.
Next time it's my turn to interview you again.
Done.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Bye.